We'll continue with session three of our class on forgiveness today by looking at the topic of righteousness. This came up this morning a few times, and some of this will be a review, but we're going to look at particularly righteousness. So Deuteronomy 6:25. So if it seems like deja vu all over again, it's just a bit of a review. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 25. Here we go. I got to find Deuteronomy first, though. Here we go. It's right where it was last time. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he commanded us. So the way they got righteous in the Old Testament, the way they got right with God, was by doing the law. In Acts 13, and verse 39, and by him, by Jesus Christ, all that believe, here in Acts 13:39, and by him, by Jesus Christ, all that believe are justified, made righteous from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So things you couldn't be justified by the law of Moses, people are justified by believing in Jesus Christ. Because with the law of Moses, if you tried to carry it out, you could do fairly well, but nobody could ever get fully justified, fully made righteous. But through Jesus Christ, you can be. That's where our righteousness comes from, believing in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:20. Romans 3 and verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So in the Old Testament times, it was their righteousness if they carried out the law. But today, with the salvation available through Jesus Christ, no flesh is justified or made righteous by the deeds of the law. Just can't do it. You can claim to be. You can claim to be so perfect. You've earned your own salvation, but you just can't do it. Again, verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh, nobody, be justified or made righteous in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And Romans 4, verse 1, here we go in Romans 4, for what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. He can't brag before God because he's never going to be as good as God. But if he'd been justified or made righteous through his own works, he could brag about it. I live such a perfect life, I'm righteous. But, verse 3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So even before Jesus Christ came to carry out his ministry, the fact that Abraham believed God, God counted the believing for righteousness. So it's interesting, the Old Testament said it'll be our righteousness if we carry out the law, but this was even before the law. And the fact that Abraham believed God so completely, God chose to count the believing for righteousness. So even Abraham couldn't be justified by works. Now verse 4, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith or believing is counted for righteousness. Now again, that was even before the Lord Jesus Christ carried out his ministry. Even back then, God knew it had much more to do with believing God than what your works were. And that's one of the challenges dealing with people, because people don't know what's in your heart. They only see what you do. Whereas God looks on the heart. And if people in their hearts believe God, it's counted for righteousness. Romans chapter 5, next chapter, verse 1. Therefore, being justified or made righteous by what? Believing, we have peace with God. We read about that this morning. Being justified by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith or believing into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh experience. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience worketh experience. Experience worketh hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, which he's given unto us. For when we are yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So while we were yet sinners, while we were imperfect, not righteous, Jesus Christ gave his life for us, and that which is why it says back in verse 1 of Romans 5, we're justified or made righteous by believing. Jesus Christ gave his life for us. Even though we were sinners, we were imperfect, he gave his life for us. Now we believe in what he accomplished, and we're justified or made righteous. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Justified by believing. That's how we get our righteousness. Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. This is talking about our salvation. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. There we go again. Believing unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and we're righteous. We confess him as our Lord, and we're saved. Awesome stuff. Our righteousness, being justified, being right before God, that comes from believing in what Jesus Christ accomplished. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 30. Hey, let's back up a little bit. This is Peter, the verse you were quoting earlier. We'll get a running start. We'll go back to verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 1, back in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And the people that perish are those that aren't born again. So, because all men die, but to be perish means to be wiped out forever. It's called the second death later in the book of Revelation. But the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, those that don't believe in Jesus Christ. This preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, born again, it's the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, a cause for offense. They're offended because they got their own beliefs, and they're still waiting for the Messiah to come. So the idea that the Messiah came and they missed it, they offends them. So unto the Jews, it's a stumbling block, and under the Greeks, it's just foolishness, because they have all these other philosophies that the preaching of Jesus Christ doesn't fit with. But, verse 24, unto them which are called, those that got born again, both Jews and Greeks, and Greeks can also be understood to be the Gentiles, the Jews and all the rest of the people. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So to the Jews it's a stumbling block, a cause of offense. To the Greeks it's foolishness. But unto us it's Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 25. Because the foolishness of God, if God had any, it would still be wiser than men. And the weakness of God, if he had any weakness, would still be stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So if there are days you feel a little foolish, that's okay. God's chosen us to confound the wise. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory or brag in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us righteousness. Jesus Christ is made unto us righteousness. He's the one that provided it. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us for wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So Jesus Christ is the one that gave us our righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5. In verse 21, for he, God, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So through what he did, we are made the righteousness of God. We're like the epitomization, the personification, the example of righteousness, all through what Jesus Christ did. So we're not just a little righteous, we are the righteousness of God. That's pretty serious. Like sometimes somebody will walk in who's really good and say, he is like Mr. Baseball. Or if he's in the Chamber of Commerce, he's Mr. Business in town here. He's the guy that knows everybody around. He's Mr. Real Estate. He's, whatever here. He's Mr. Little League, because he's been running the Little League for 20 years, and he's it. Well, we are made the righteousness of God through what Jesus Christ did. So we're really righteous. We are really right before God. It's just figuring ourselves out and not taking what other people say seriously. Because the reason we sometimes don't feel righteous is we condemn ourselves because we did something wrong, or other people condemn us. And we just have to realize none of them matter. Because as far as God's concerned, we're righteous because Jesus Christ paid for it. So sometimes it's a matter of who you're going to listen to. If you ever in a situation where people tell you different opinions and you have to decide who to believe, it happens to us all the time. Well, you may not think you feel righteous. People may talk to you in ways that make you want to, they treat you like a crumb. But in God's eyes, which is the only one that matters here, we are the righteousness of God through what Jesus Christ did. Let's read that one more time. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Wow. Galatians 2, verse 16. Galatians 2. Verse 16. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. A man is not justified or made righteous by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified, made righteous, by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Nobody's going to be made righteous through the works of the law. It's only through what Jesus Christ did. The only way to become righteous. We might be, man is not justified by the works of the law. Galatians 3 and verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith, by believing. The only way to live with God is by believing his word. And the only way we're made righteous is by believing that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and confessing him as Lord. We basically have to believe it. It'd be like if Peter and Dee Dee cooked this delightful, huge meal, and we're sitting here in the living room, and they say, food's ready, come eat. And I said, I don't believe they really cooked. I don't believe there's any food there. Now, if I believe they cooked it, I can just walk in there and have a delightful meal, which I did. We all did. But we had to believe that they actually cooked it, and it was actually being served, and I should actually walk in the kitchen. That's sort of the way our righteousness is. Jesus Christ paid for it. We got it. But if I refuse to believe it, or I forget it, or I let somebody talk me into thinking I'm a bum, I miss out on everything. I miss out on enjoying that righteousness because I got talked out of it. It'd be terrible if somebody talked me out of going into the kitchen to eat lasagna tonight. What a loss that would have been. And it's going to happen again in less than an hour. We're going to be told there's dessert in there. And we're going to go back and there will be more. See how great that is? But you have to believe it and act on it or you don't get the benefit. Even though they did all the work to fix it, prepare it, cook it, get the ingredients, we still have to walk in there and get it. Well, that's the way we enjoy our righteousness and so many of the things we got in the new birth. We just have to believe God's actually given them to us and then go enjoy them. So let's read that verse again. Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified or made righteous by the law, in the sight of God it's evident, for the just shall live by faith. Wow. Philippians 3. Now, earlier, Dee Dee, you could have been Roman through the Bible. Now you have to be Philippian through the pages. I know that's a lot to think about. By the way, we just read Galatians. Somebody tried to tell me it was just written for women because it was Galatians. I never believed that, but there are people that try to tell you that. Okay, here we go. Philippians 3:9. Here we go. Philippians 3:9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Okay, let's back up a little bit. Philippians 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, verse 9, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We're right before God because Jesus Christ believed God, carried out his ministry, gave his blood for us. Now we simply believed it and accepted it, just like I believed there would be lasagna in there and went in and enjoyed it. I simply believed and accepted what God did through Jesus Christ, and now I'm righteous, as are you, as is anybody that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read that again. Philippians 3:9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And there will be times where, even though God has made us righteous, we being humans will have a hard time believing it, and we'll just think we're bums. Either because of something somebody in the world said, or we're just doubting our ability to walk with God and trust God, or something else. But you know what? 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. It says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Got to get to that place where you so believe that God will take care of you and that God loves you and that Jesus Christ did a perfect job as your Savior that you don't get condemned. Doesn't mean when you make a mistake you can't look at it honestly and say, oops, I sort of goofed that up, I'll do better next time. That's one thing. But it's another thing to think you're no good and worthless and everything else, because you just think you are. I mean, you've got God saying you're righteous and Jesus Christ paid for your sins, yet sometimes we have the nerve to say, gosh, I'm such a mess, God couldn't possibly love me. You're basically poking God in the eye when you say that. You know, it'd be like Peter and Dee Dee made this wonderful meal, and then I said something stupid or made a mistake, and I said, oh, I don't think they'd really want to feed me. I'm too much of a bum. Well, I'm assuming they don't love me and wouldn't forgive me, and so I'm being mean to them because they just wanted to bless us, and that's why they made the meal. They didn't come, you know, do a background check on us and say, you flunk my background check, you can't have dinner. That's not what they did. But people tend to want to do that with other people, and we especially want to do it with ourselves. So if you find your heart condemning you, just realize God is greater than our heart and knows all things. And when our heart doesn't condemn us, that's when we have confidence in God. You know, sort of like some of those verses that talk about let the peace of God rule in your heart and things like that, and you cast all your care upon God, for he cares for you. And so many things, if we find ourselves not being peaceful in our hearts, it's because we haven't managed to just turn everything over to God and trust God. And if we find ourselves condemning ourselves, it's basically we think we know more than God. God says you're completely righteous, you're completely forgiven. Jesus Christ did the job perfectly. Yet I have the nerve to say I'm not good enough for God. And God says I am. I'm saying I know more than God. If I'm meek to listen to God, I have to accept that he completely loves me. I'm completely righteous. My sins are paid for. He has forgiven me. And he doesn't have a problem with me. I just got to deal with the fact that I and perhaps some other people have a problem with me. But that's part of daily life. Because we're not perfect. So you're going to do things that you have a problem with, and you're going to do things other people have a problem with. Welcome to life. Welcome to the world. We try to avoid it, but it's going to happen. At that point, we got to decide, am I a bum, like I sometimes think and some other people may think? Or am I completely righteous and can stand before God with no sense of inferiority or sin because Jesus Christ did a perfect job as my Savior? Just got to decide which are you going to accept. And it's very simple. If our heart condemn us not, let's read again. 1 John 3, verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. And one of the things he knows is that our righteousness is paid for through Jesus Christ. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment. Now notice it's not going to be 23 chapters of Deuteronomy and Leviticus here, because we live in the age of grace. This is his commandment, verse 23, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments, to believe on Jesus Christ and love one another, dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So we are really righteous. We are the righteousness of God. Now, let's read this on your notes here. It says, righteousness is the God-given justification, which is freedom from the penalties of sin, whereby a person stands in the presence of God without any consciousness of sin, guilt, or shortcomings. Because we have been justified, we are righteous. And then let's take a look at Romans 8, 26 to 39. Again, very familiar scriptures. Romans 8, 26 to 39. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, or our weakness. What's our weakness here? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's our weakness. We want to pray for somebody, we don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's when we speak, pray by the Spirit of God. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when we speak in tongues, we're praying according to the will of God, because God knows what needs to be prayed for, and he gives us the words. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, and by the way, all things do work together for good when you pray in the Spirit, love God, and are called according to his purpose. Just live his word. All things do work together for good. It may not seem so at the time, but they work out great. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Obviously no one. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And this next part could be a question. Shall God that justifieth? Who is he that condemneth? Shall Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Think he gave his life for us to make us righteous? Now he's going to turn around and condemn us? People do that kind of thing sometimes, but not God. Who shall separate us, verse 35, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughters. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, that's how righteous we are before God. He loves us, and nothing can separate us from that love, because we're right before God. The last paragraph on your notes. The whole world is trying to earn righteousness by their own deeds, which they can never do. We have the joy of walking in the righteousness which he already accomplished for us by his perfect, accomplished believing as our Lord and Savior. And that completes this session.